remember yesterday, so we're trying to analyze this cloud that the Gemara has, that by Torah Nechayv, El Al Trisa Zeis Anam Bovad, it's speaking that Torah is only validated with Zeis of Anam, so we're talking about focusing on Asher and Iran, trying to why there should be sales, and Asher seems to emphasize that other things should look Kedera, and Iran seems to emphasize that other Mashkin, like Zeyat Yalma, they can ignore Sochim. The question is, whatever Lomdus behind this din is it really true? Does everybody really accept this din? So the problem is, there's another Gemara, and Daf Kuf Mem Hamad Aleph, so the Gemara discusses Chita Lagavi other things as well. The Gemara Gufa, Meherim and Aleph, the Gemara says Gufa, Kvash, which is Sochkan. So a person squeezes out pickles or something. Some of the Gufa, Mutter, and the man Patr Valasa. The person squeezes it out to enhance the pickle, so then it's totally Mutter. Whereas if you squeeze it out to drink the pickle juice, so then it's only Mutter, the Rabban, and Patr Valasa. Then the thing is between Kvash and Shlachos, Kvash called Shmuel, and also what we say about Kvash and Shlachos. And far at the end of the city, the Gemara says, "Yerich, and I'll have a kavash vechach shlofos, the guf and motor, and the man chayav chatos." That the person squeezes out pickles for the pickle juice, so then he's going to be chayav chatos. If you leave out the technical bit of the rabbanim about the guf and the man shlofos kavashit, the important part that we want to extract, no pun intended, from the sugya, is that there seems to be a major machlokes Rav and Shmuel on the one hand against the Yerich on the other hand, namely, is it shayach to have a deraisa here? Is there any deraisa bechlal on this kavash and shlofos? According to Rav and Shmuel, it doesn't look like there's any derais here. Everything is either totally mature or it's potter balal sir. There's according to Rabbi Yochanan, so there is a chatimsa that happened here deraisa. If it's kvashim and shlokos lemenayan, if you're squeezing out the pickles, pickle juice, or if you're squeezing out the kvash, let's say kvash, shlokos means like a cooked piece of chicken or a cooked mokshin or something. So you're squeezing it out to drink the delicious chicken juice or delicious noodle juice. So that would be an issa deraisa according to Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, how do we understand this machlokes is Rav and Shmuel on the one hand, and Rabbi Yochanan, in light of everything that we spoke about yesterday? So there seems to be a major machlokes of Rishonim. Is there a relationship between this sugya and the end of the Gemara about Zeis and Ve'anavim? So comes Tosus and the Divrei Maaseh with Kvashim. So Tosus says Kvashim stuff from the group and Mudla and Ne'em Patav Allah. So Rav Yochanei, the Amla Kamad, Ratari and Achad Elad Vicha Zeis and Ve'anavim. So comes tells and says that you better believe that these two sugyas are related. But the reason what prompted Rav, and for that matter Shmuel also, to assume that there's no deraisa involved in Tzchikas Kvashim and Shlokos in any shape or form, is Dafka L'shitaso, that Eino Chayav Minator Ela Al Zeis Ve'anavim Buvad. So according to Rav, it's mamash the same sugya. According to Tosafos, it's mamash the same sugya. But the unifying theme of the sugya is that Rav is of the opinion that there's no Tzchikas deraisa short of Zeis Ve'anavim, and that was what compelled Rav to assume that Kvashim and Shlokos are also not going to be deraisa. That's the way Tosafos presents the sugya. Those are the thing I pasuk necessarily. Tosafos just tells you that it's the same picture. Whatever you hold in Shaar Peiros, in effect, is going to be the same as what you hold in Kvashim and Shlokos. So comes Rabbeinu Chananel and definitely says something different than Tosafos, but it's highly unclear what he's saying. Highly unclear because there are about half the lines missing. So if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, so Rabbeinu Chananel is addressing this issue. That's fine, Rabbeinu Chananel. The bottom one, not the other part. So comes Rabbeinu Chananel and says, "V'had the Talmud Rabbeinu Menashe v'Atzer Nechay Al Drich Zeis V'Nam Bavad." So Kasha had Rabbi Yochanan. So that is not contradicting what Rabbi Yochanan says. Now that's already different from Tosafos. Tosafos would say, "You better believe that's disagreeing. That's contradicting what Rabbi Yochanan said." Because Tosafos is just going to finish saying that Rav is Lushitoso, the Kvash Mishlachos. And the fact that Rabbeinu Chananel is somehow trying to salvage everybody, he's trying to make everybody happy, he's trying to say that we could pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that Kvash Mishlachos is deraisa, but we could also pass it like Tadavim and Asher, that Eno Chai Ola Drisa Zeishan of Mavad. The only problem is he doesn't really tell you how you do that. Right? So he says, so if you look on the bottom, so they try to touch up what Rabbeinu Chananel was running at. That means that Mustamu Rabbeinu Chananel sounds like he's saying is that when Tanu Rabbeinu Menashe said that Eino Chayv El Al Zeis Ve'Anavim, he didn't mean to say that that's the only thing that you chayv on. What he meant to say is everything in the fruit juice family, the only fruit juices that you chayv on is grape juice and olive oil. In contrast to orange juice, apple juice, pineapple juice, etc. But are there other things that are there? I say, yeah. What are those other things? Vashem Mishlokos. So whereas Tosafos said that Munach is the statement of Tarad Ve Menashe, and Rav's statement of Enochai Ve Ladris Zeis Ve Nam Bovad means that there's absolutely nothing. Zeis Ve Nam, that's all there is right no more. and Kvash Mishlochos have to be Derabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan is saying no, the Kvash Mishlochos could be Deraisa, whereas other fruit is going to be Derabbanan. The question is, we need a little bit of a beer. My high, like, why in the world should Kvash Mishlochos be more chomor according to Yochanan than orange juice, according to Rabbi Yochanan? So the Bir Halacha presents two different ways of understanding this Rabbi Yochanan. Again, it's hard to say Rabbi Yochanan because we were clearly missing a few words with Rabbi Yochanan. So the Bir Halacha suggests as follows. Maybe one can argue, it's a very simplistic way, but maybe this all boils down to Shalei Kederach. Maybe what's considered to be the norm. I remember we said yesterday already that in the days of Chazal, it was very abnormal to squeeze fruit juice. All right, the Rashba said that the bracha you make on the fruit juice is Shahakul because it's Shalei Kederach, basically Shalei Kederach Achila. So says the Bir Halacha, maybe that's what Ben Chanan was driving at. If to squeeze other types of juices, it's not shayach b'chayav in a Torah, not tusim, not ribonim, not prunes, nothing. It's all considered to be shalei kederach. So therefore, it's either nisad derabbanan at worst, or maybe mutlach hatchil at best. But says the Bir Halacha, what if you would have a type of a liquid that would be kederach to squeeze? So in terms of you could dig up such a liquid that would be kederach to squeeze. Then it would be deraisa because there's nothing intrinsically that's distinguishing between zeis and menavim on the one hand and tapuchim and tapuzim on the other hand. So everything is a function of kederach. It says to be halacha. Well, maybe that's Rabbi Yochanan is learning the Gemara. That maybe pickle juice is normal to squeeze. Maybe that's considered to be normal to drink a cup full of pickle juice. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says. That's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara never really connects the sugyas. The Gemara never says that Rav L'Shitaso. Tosa says Rav L'Shitaso. The Gemara never says Rav L'Shitaso. So comes to the Allah and says, yeah, because it's not necessarily Rav L'Shitaso, but it could be that you accept Rav's din of Eino Chayv al-Azaytim and Adulvah and still accept Rav Yechanan that Kvashim and Shlosas are Chayv al-Aymehen. That's the first Mahalach of the Be'alach. Then the Be'alach of the second Mahalach, the more Lomdash Mahalach, says no. He says that there is a distinction between pickle juice and orange juice based on the following. That orange juice never had a Shem Ashkel, because the orange juice was inside the orange. And if you hold that sharp peiros, the juice is not considered to be a halachic mashka, rather it's considered to be like a zeb yam, which is the sweat of the fruit. So then we can understand why there's no sweet to deraisa. When it comes to pickle juice, what does pickle juice mean? So the pickle juice didn't come from inside the pickles. Pickle juice meant that you had a native thing of water and vinegar or whatever it was. You had mashkin from beforehand, then you stuck the pickle, stuck a cucumber inside it, let it sit for a couple of weeks, and then you take it out and you squeeze out the juice. That's considered to be sochres ha-kvashim. Or sochres ha-shlochus means that you have noodles. The noodles are cooking in water. So the water had a shei mashkin from beforehand. So now it becomes nibble, it becomes absorbed into the noodles, and now when you squeeze out the noodles, that's sochet as a shlochus, which is chayav. This is the Bir Halacha. Since those juices, quote unquote, did have a shei mashkin from beforehand, so then that's chayav. Because what's the malach of schita? The schita means to be mefarek the mashkin from the oichel. So the oichel, the pickle has a shei oichel, and the pickle juice has a shei mashkin because it received its shei mashkin 6 months ago before it was absorbed into the pickle. In contrast to an orange, which never had a shem ashkin, because since the Gemara Pesachim says that orange juice is every alma, so that's not cool. Being machped is an ashkin and an oichel. So these two mahalchim that the Bir Halacha is giving to within the Rabbeinu Chanan to try to salvage Rabbi Yochanan and still hold from the times of Eimin Asher that either pickle juice is worse because it's more kederach, or pickle juice is worse because it has a shem ashkin. So clearly the Bir Halacha is alluding to this machlekes Rashi and the Ran, whether he meant this or not, but clearly what's coming out, that according to Rashi, who said that Tanav Ben Asher was based on the whole principle of Kederach, so if you wanted to mechayev somebody for something else, outside of Zeis and Venav, you'd better prove that that's Kederach. That was the first Mahalach of the Bir Halacha. But if you hold that the Chisor or Shapeiros was nothing to do with Kederach, the Chisor was that it didn't have a Shem Mashkeh, then you have to come up with some other halachic way of creating a Shem Mashkeh. So the Bir Halacha did. He came up with a new idea. His new idea was that something which had a Shem Mashkeh b'fnei atzmo, and then it becomes mugla into the fruit, and into the food, whatever it is, and then it comes out. So in such a thing, we don't say it's Zeviyama. Such a thing, we'd say that it retains its original Shem Mashkeh. So these two different connections of the Bir Halacha is really just the continuation. We said yesterday, the Machlokes is Rashi and the Ran, what was the Chisor and B'Shar Peiros? Who's the end of the issue? Now we'll move on to what we want to talk about today. So the Gemara says, in this whole sugya in Perek Chavis, that although in Min HaTorah it's true I'm assuming that we pass like that opinion. Nevertheless, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of the fruit is mutlak atchila to be safek. The Gemara speaks about another group of fruit, which the Gemara calls tusim v'rimonim, other types of fruit which are not quite mutter to squeeze, but not a misa derai. So there's a misa derabanan to squeeze these tusim v'rimonim. What are these tusim v'rimonim? So tusim are it means there's berries and the ribonim are pomegranates. So what's my eye, my shine of these two things? Tutsadeh, I don't have to say strawberry in Hebrew today. He likes those strawberry juices, banana strawberry juices. So he was reading it. He had just learned how to read a little bit of Hebrew last year. So he was drinking the juice and he's trying to read banana. He's trying to figure out what banana is. And he sees tough, vav, tough. So he reads the sus. Anyway, so my high, what's so special about these two simple remote that the Chumri made a Nisr Derabbanan, that the Stam of Dinatar, it's not a mash, but the Tar is not Kedar, so why should we ask them the Derabbanan? So the Chumri has a whole arichas on the Chumri, and Dalai of the days, to try to explain away what this middle category is all about. Why is it that the Chumri instituted this Tuesar of the Schita on Tusim V'rimonim? So this, in a certain sense, this is probably the most important part of the sugi for us, L'maisa, because they spend up and who makes their own wine, this man is there, squeeze out their own olives, and this man is there. So most of the fruit that we deal with fall into this middle category of Tusim V'rimonim, so the oranges and maybe the lemons and the pineapples, all the stuff that we're familiar, all the juice that we're familiar with. So we have to really understand properly why did the Chum institute this Issa Derabbanan of Tusim V'rimonim, what's this all about? So the Gemara throws around two totally different svaras on Kufman Dano and Beis. Not even clear from the Gemara what the Maskana is. So first the Gemara quotes that the reason why the Chum asked the Tusim V'rimonim is because it was normal in some places for people to squeeze the Tusim V'rimonim. Now, you don't get the impression from the Gemara that it was so normal that we're going to label it a deraisa, but it was normal enough for us to be concerned with. So the Gemara questions, is that really true? Was it really considered to be kederach sufficient for us to be concerned with? So the Gemara says that in Beis Menashe, Ber Menachem, they used to have a lot of rimonim, so they used to have a lot of pomegranates, so they used to squeeze the pomegranates, so the Gemara says, so therefore, the Chumri made a nisa derabanan, and they considered that to be somehow significant. So the Gemara says that's not really true, but just because there's a group of chevra called Beis Menashe, Ber Menachem, they're squeezing the pomegranates, so that really shouldn't concern us in halacha. We should apply the rule of batla daita beis hadas kolado. Why is that? The Gemara explains that this is already a global topic. Normally the halacha is nikva, bus are normal people. We want everyone to be normal. So there's a general standard with Tamminaga elements. But sometimes you have a situation where the halacha is teveya, and such a thing is considered to be a Tamminaga element, and then you have another group of individuals who are doing things a little bit differently. So when do you say that group of individuals are bottled by the Eistad Askalom, that we just negate them, and the halacha is nikva, bus are the Tamminaga element? And when do you say no? We have to take into consideration even the Yechidim. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes hatanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim was a shaila in Hilchos Kelayim. There's a din min haTorah that if you have different grains together which are growing in a kerem, that could potentially be the asa to do, and it's also to get achidah to eat it, it's also to hana. That's called Kelayim b'kerem. So the Gemara is assuming that it's only considered to be Kelayim b'kerem if it's something that's normal to plant. The Torah says, well, Suzer, Karmach, or Kelayim. So the Torah is speaking to normal people. So if a person plants something which is such a machine they would think to plant, even though it may happen, maybe it will take root of something, but it's such a crazy thing, so that was never included when the Torah said, Lost Suzer, Karmach, or Kelayim. And Mark Wadam, Machlaki, Zatanayim, what's the story of a person who's Mekayim, Kites, and b'kerem? A person that's believes the thorns of the kerem. Mekayim means that, we spoke about this in the first issue, huh? So let's say a guy has a carom growing, and there are coats in the carom, there are thorns in the carom, and he doesn't bother pulling out the thorns. So Rabbi Lezer says that's a problem. Rabbi Lezer says that the carom becomes a kilia carom because it's growing, you have carom growing together with the thorns. And the Chum say, what are you talking about? Well, it doesn't become this kaddish. It's crazy. Only a meshugana plants thorns, so the alzelo nemalus is a kind of kelayim. So the Gemara tries to explain that Rabbi Eliezer was based on the following, that in Arabia, they used to have a lot of camels. I guess they still do have a lot of camels. So they feed the corn, they feed whatever it was to their camels. So it was considered to be a normal. So the Gemara says, do you see from Rabbi Eliezer that sometimes you don't say but l'daitel etel las kolam, but Rabbi Eliezer was willing to mechayev you malchus to be mechayev kolay v'kerem, to be mechayev kolchim v'kerem, even though it's not really the minhag ha'olam, but since it's the minhag ha'olam in one place, that's considered to be also, well, you don't say but l'daitel etel las kolam. So the Gemara says, no, that's different, that Arabia was different, because Arabia was a whole country, Arabia was a whole place. Whereas these chevr of the days, Menashe, but Menachem, was one guy, one family, they were in the pomegranate business. So just because it's normal for them to squeeze, so that's something that with the halacha doesn't have to take into consideration. So if you just read the Gemara, just the way we have it now, so it would appear that the Gemara Taka rejects that story. The Gemara says that we're trying to find the reason why the halacha is concerned with the Tzchitas Tusim Rimon. Why don't we just say Butler Daito? So the Gemara wanted to say, because since there are some people who do it, just as Rabbi Eliezer was concerned with the Arabian camels, we should be concerned with the pomegranates based in Asha. And the Gemara was daich, and the Gemara says, no, there's no dinyan, that the Arabia was a whole country, so you can't say Butler Daito, where the Menachem, whatever his name was. So he was just an individual family, so then you can't say Butler. So if you just read the Gemara at face value, then this whole Svara falls by the wayside. So that's not the reason for the Yisrael Derabbanan of Shechitas Tusim Rimonim. So there are some Rishonim who seem to say that even though the Gemara seems to reject it, maybe we can come back to it anyway. Maybe the Gemara never really meant to reject it totally. Maybe the Gemara just meant to reject to say that it's based purely on based Menashe ben Menachem. But it could be there are a lot of Menashe ben Menachem. There's a whole country of Menashe ben Menachem. There's a whole city of Menashe ben Menachem. There's a whole group of people who are maybe have a whole location in the world where they have Sochet Tusim Rimonim. So maybe now we can't close the Rosh. We can't just say that, well, it's Vot Lodai to Eitz Adas Kolova. So the Gemara rejected the Chumra de Rabona, Tusim Rimonim, based on an individual of Menashe and Menachem. That's true. But it could be that if all the dust settles, the Neitach will be a whole location. That's Sochet Tusim Rimonim. So now we can no longer say Vot Lodai to Eitz Adas Kolova. That's what the Mishnah seemed to say, that we accept the Gemara's reason, even though the Gemara's Metzias wasn't really correct. Even if this is true, that we're going to say that the Yisrael Rabbanon of Shechitas Tusim Rimonim v'Zmanazeh is based on this idea that since it's normal in some places to squeeze fruit X, Y, and Z, so that's going to cause a problem for us. So we have to further qualify that. Because the Gemara earlier in the Masechta Shabbos, says that there's another important klal when determining when we say butler dai to etzel das kolam and when we don't. So the klal from Sukkot and Dalit is that it depends whether it's a whole place, whether it's an individual. And on Saturday days, the Gemara is another klal. The Gemara says that in order to be chayav for carrying on Shabbos, you have to carry it in a normal way. So normally carry, you carry something in your pocket, carry your hands. If a person carries something on his head, that's not a normal way of carrying. So the Gemara says that there was one shug in a place where everybody used to carry things on their head, and hutzel. That was what he was doing, hutzel. So the Gemara says that if a person carries something on the head, so you're not going to be chayiv. I, the Anshe Hutzel, carry on the head. So the Gemara says that a butler died away to follow them. But they have a sugar, they're crazy, the Anshe Hutzel. So the Rish Tois is born with the Kasha, but wait a second. The Gemara here in Kuf Mem Dalet says that you don't say butler died away to a whole group of people, that's the whole place. And here you had Anshe Hutzel, it wasn't one guy's name was Mr. Hutzel, it was a whole city which is called Hutzel. So comes Tos and says, no, you seek chlor from the Gemara on the Tzadi days, but there's another klal that's necessary in order for us not to say butler daitel. It's not enough just to be a rabbim, but there's another condition. What's the other condition? So Taisha says it has to be that even though you have a whole location that's doing something, why isn't the rest of the world doing it? If you stop and ask yourselves, let's say there's a whole city that has a lot of pomegranates and they're squeezing pomegranates. Why isn't everybody else squeezing pomegranates? So Taisha says for one of two reasons. Either nobody else is squeezing pomegranate, because that's the stupidest, most ridiculous fruit to squeeze. No one in the right law would ever squeeze a pomegranate. Just you have these crazy guys by Menashe and Menachem who are squeezing it, but they're in the Mishagoyim. That's one reason why people aren't squeezing pomegranates. But the other reason why the rest of the island isn't squeezing pomegranates is they don't have an overflow of pomegranate trees. So, but lu yitzui, that we would be zoicha to have as many pomegranates as the Bay Menashe people, but we would also squeeze our pomegranates. Okay, she says, the stomach, that's also an important condition. Why? So it comes to us and says that in the case of Anshe Hutzel, So the people in Hutzah will carry things on their heads. How come nobody else is carrying things on their heads? We also have heads. We also have baskets. We can also carry things on their heads. How come nobody puts the water on their head? How come? So Tosfos says, of course, you see that the reason why the rest of the Olam is not carrying things on their heads is not because we don't have enough heads. It's not because we don't have the ability to do it. The reason why we don't do it, because it's a stupid thing to do, because no one in their right mind would ever carry something on their head. So Tosfos says, whenever you have such a minig which is ridiculous, So the litmus test or the barometer, the proof that it's ridiculous is that even people who could theoretically do it don't do it. So Tosa says you also say Botladaito Etodas Kalodim. So Tosa creates a whole kugel here out of when do you say the Kalam Botladaito and when not. So Tosa basically puts together the Gemara Tzadi Beis, the Gemara Tzkufa and Dalet. It says there are two conditions that have to be met before we say that before we don't say Botladaito Etodas Kalodim. Usually the Lachas Mikvah Basa the Rabbin, Basa the Minigah, Basa the Minigah Elam. Every once in a while you have this deviation. So when do we ignore the deviation? When do we take it into consideration? So the Gemara in Kufnam Dalet draws a distinction between who is deviating. Is it just a person or is it a whole place? So if it's a person, then you totally forget about it. Even if what he's doing makes sense, but it doesn't matter. If it's just a one person, we totally forget about it. But if it's a Rabbin, then you have to be concerned with it. But then the Gemara qualifies that in Tzadi Beis that even if it's a rabbin, we only have to be concerned with it if it's in such a situation where we have the ability to do what they do, would we do it as well? And if we would not, that's like Anshe Hutzah Gemara. So Botla Daita it's a Laskal of them. Whereas if we would, then it's like the base Menashe Menachem Gemara, where if we had enough pomegranates, we would be sensitive.
Then what about the Arabian people? That's Kamir too.
Well, if you had a lot of camels, right? If you had a lot of camels, you'd probably also be in the Kayim Kosin.
Why would you
say it's just feature of camels? I don't know what camels eat. If you had a lot of kosin, you had a lot of camels, you'd probably try to cut down on your camel bill. So what they're doing is not so crazy. That's what the Gemara is saying. What they're doing is not so nuts.
Why suppose we compare Hutzol with Menashe instead of Hutzol with Arabia? It seems that Hutzol and Arabia are both places.
No, they are. That's exactly what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos says that the Gemara here says that whenever you have a Machom Rabbin, you don't say Botladaito. So how come by Hutzol the Gemara does say Botladaito? So that's what Tosfos has to create a new cloud and say that even if it's a Rabbin, you still say Botladaito if the reason why the rest of the world is not doing it is because they think the other guys are crazy. Then there's a further Nakuda that Tosfos doesn't even address, but the later Achronim address, is that even in a situation where you don't say Botla Daito Ekalas Kalodim, so what does that mean? Does that mean that those people who are living a little bit of a different style of doing things, so we take that into consideration in those places where they're doing it? Or do we say, since there are some people in Yehubitzville who are doing things that if we also had that opportunity, we would also do, so now we have to be concerned with that as well. So that places doesn't address. So who's out of the place between? Yeah, the Shaila is even in the we went through all the klalim. We finished Kufa and Dai, we finished Tzadi Beis. We got all the klalim down pat. We know exactly when we apply the rule of Botla Daito, when not. So we have a situation where you don't apply the rule of Botla Daito because it's a rabbin, it's a whole place. And number two, it's not such a crazy thing that they're doing. So the design that we don't say Botla Daito. So if we don't say Botla Daito, that means in that place we don't say Botla Daito. Well, that means now in the whole world we don't say Botla Daito. Now everybody in the world has to take into consideration what these guys are doing. So who's that in Machlokes between? I guess, who's Machlokes? You hear the Shaila? Right, it's to the Shaila. Who had the Gemara Kuf Mandala? Who? Yeah, that's the Machlokes who it was in the Chum. Right. That means, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer says that if I have Kotzim in Eretz Yisrael, so Am Chayim Mishum Kilayim, it's Kidesh Mishum Kilayim, because in Arabia they're being Mekayim Kotzim Ligmalayim, to which the Chachamim said to Rebbe Elazar, that's not true, that in Arabia it's going to be Chayim. The Chachamim didn't disagree with Rebbe Elazar that in Arabia they're going to be Chayim, so the Sordis are going to be Chayim, but the people in Eretz Yisrael are not going to be Chayim. So the Machloikis Rebbe Elazar and the Rabbanah was not a Machloikis within how to create Batla Daito, how not to create Batla Daito. The only two clones that we know is the Sigyan Kuf Mandal and Sigyan Tzadi Beis. Everyone agrees that that's wrong. Now, once you've created a situation where you don't say Batla Daito, so now what do you do with that piece of information? So that seems to be Machloikis, because you know the Lezer and the Rabbanah. So anyway, so getting back to the story. So there are some Rishonim who salvaged this Gemara. So the Gemara started out by saying, You want to start out by saying that the reason why Schit is also the Rabbanon of Tussim Rimonim is because of the base Menashe and Menachem. Even though the Gemara rejected that reason because they thought that the Menashe and Menachem are just the Yechidim, but it could be that a Libidi Yemes the Tapa Rov, or there are other people who are not a Rov necessarily, but the whole place that is going to be suffering. If that's the case, any time you have a situation where it's considered to be already within the norm of being suffered something, so you can no longer say Batla Daita, Namad the Rabbanon, we're going to institute an Issur Schit, even though it's not based on the Anovim, so that's going to spell a lot of trouble Bizman Hazeh. Because Bizman Hazeh, it's very, very hard to find the fruit that's not the Derech to be suffered somewhere. I would say, forget it, it's not the Derech to be suffered everywhere. Name your fruit, name your fruit, it's never suffered. They squeeze oranges, they squeeze apples, they squeeze pears, they squeeze bananas, they squeeze the pineapples, they squeeze what? Pomegranates.
Mango.
Prune. You name it, they're squeezing away. So, what the Gemara made it sound like, okay, we have to go search and find the base Menashe and Menachem in order to cause trouble either there or here, wherever it is. Because not as that's a joke. What's it called? Globalization? So the whole world, one big happy family. So they're squeezing fruits all over the place. And then it's Pashtus is that the whole world, Bizman HaZeh, now has the status of Beis Menashe by Menachem. We'll gather all the other fruits. That means that yesterday we wanted, this is a cooler from yesterday, yesterday we wanted to say all other fruits are Deraisa, because it's become so normal to squeeze some of the other things that we said based on Rashi's understanding, so everything should be Deraisa. So even if Rashi's not Ran, even if Zalzal like the Ran, but Lamaisa, the Gemara says that whatever's normal to squeeze, so even though it's Minatara Zeh Abiyama, doesn't have a shame hashka tapas, the chamur masaki, and that's been allowed to squeeze it. So it could be that just about all fruit in the world today falls under the middle category of the Sivri Monim. Okay, that's going according to the first Malach of the Gemara. And now the Gemara has a second Malach. The Gemara says, no, maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe the reason why Schit is also with the Rabbanon on the Sivri Monim. There's nothing to do with Beis Menashe Menachem. Even the Beis Menashe Menachem never have any Tussim Rimonim. Even if you have a type of fruit that's not, doesn't necessarily meet the first criteria. There's a different Svara. The Gemara says that Keva the Achshavinu Habu Mashke. That even though objectively the orange juice or the pineapple juice is not really a Chayav in a Torah, but the person who's squeezing it clearly is Machshav to be a Mashke. So since he's Machshav, it could be a Mashke, so that seems to be a Schita, at least a Schita on the level of the Rabbanon. That's what the Gemara seems to present it. What does this mean? It's a strange principle. It means if the Deraisa took a definition of Schita as such, so the fact that he's squeezing it, that gives it Chashivas mid the Rabbanon. So the answer is yeah, that we find this in other areas of Allah. Also, going back to the Mashal we spoke about yesterday, we said that if a person eats things shaloki derech achila, so technically speaking, in a Torah, that's not chayav. Let's say a person eats ochel which is not ruyim achila. If he eats spoiled food, so if the food is nifsom achilas adam, then you're not getting, that's not a mitzvah derais. We're learning that from the pasuk. In the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah, the Torah says lo sachu kol neveila, a ger asher b'sharecha tibnei v'achola. You're not allowed to eat neveila, but rather what do you do with the neveila? You give it to the getosha. So the Gemara says that only a type of neveil that's ruuy l'getosha, that you would give to a person to eat, only edible, human edible food is considered to be b'cham losochu kol neveil. But once it's already nifsom echilas adam, then it's no longer included in the issur of losochu kol neveil. That's the din of neveil of ruuy l'ger is also. Neveil sh'en ruuy l'ger is mutter min haTorah. When it comes to chametz, there's more b'cham in the nifsom echilas kelach, technical reasons. But in terms of other machalos asuros, so then once it's nifsom echilas adam, it loses the issur. That's the mock of what came is there. That's the mock of the din of the time of God. That's the mock of the din that if you have, let's say, you have a pot, and I cooked chaz in the pot more than 24 hours ago, and now I cook kosher food in the pot, so the kosher food does not become treif, because the particles, the absorption of time, it's inside the walls of a pot, so it was machlek, is that the right? But we pass in, and whatever's within the walls of a pot for more than 24 hours, so it's already a nice in time of God. It already doesn't taste good. And it's already included in this Zeris HaKosu, and the Velish and the Ligair is not being also. So that's where we passed. Other Tana disagreed, but otherwise we passed in Aloha that Kaderish and Bas Yoma is not a Mutim in a Torah. So the Gemara says, the end of the Venezuela, the whole Kashan Kedim that we have as Manazer is usually the Rabbanon. because Min HaTorah you destroy 24 hours and you can use it afterwards. But Min HaBanan you have to kasher it, because if it's there you may come to use it within 24 hours. Fine. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechas, in the second break of Pesachim also, let's say you have chametz which is the nifsa legabes. Let's say if nifsa mechilas kelach, so shmamis garbage and everything. So then that's not which is the chametz. So the Rishonim write, the Rush writes in the beginning of the second paragraph of Pesachim, let's say a guy has something which is a chometz, which is mamish nifsa legamri, or a chazer, a veil, which is nifsa legamri, and the guy decides to eat it, and he chooses to eat it. So comes the Rush and says, he's machshav it. And it's true, the Torah objectively says it loses its chashivas, it loses its isser, but if you think that it tastes good, so taste is in the eyes of the beholder. If you think it tastes good, so you're machshav it. So the Rush says, that's also. So it's about chlekes acherot. What did the Rosh need to say? So the pashtus and the Rosh is that it's only nisid the rabban. It's not a min haTorah. It's not a problem. Min haTorah, once it's defined as mevelus shenu again, so it loses its concern. But with the rabban, if you go ahead and you machshav it, so this doesn't look right. It looks like it is like a little bit. So with the rabban, they threw an isser at you. That's the source. It's based on this Rosh that the whole discussion about taking trick medicines kicks in. If you have trach medicine that tastes good, so then you have a very real problem. If you have trach medicine that doesn't taste good, so it's not something that a normal person would eat, so that's called einer ru'ila ger. So min haTorah, even if it has trach medicine, it's still kosher. So what's the din? But I'm taking it. I'm eating it. So is that considered to be achshavei? So some posts said, yeah. And since the Rosh says that although min haTorah it's mutter midrabban, it's also mishum achshavei, so the fact that I take trach medicine is a problem. And others, including Rav Moshe, disagreed and said, no, that since the whole svara of the Yisrael Rabban is actually means that I decided out of my free will to sit down and eat this piece of rotten meat, so I'm showing that this piece of rotten meat is really something which is the davar chashuv over here. The guy doesn't want to take the medicine. Nebuch, the guy would rather not be sick. He's stuck in the medicine because Nebuch, he got sick. The doctor says, you got to take X, Y, and Z. So he doesn't want to take it. So Poskim said, how can you say Akshavei in those circumstances? So the Yisrael Rabban of Akshavei doesn't apply. So then you're left with the Nderais. And the Nderais is that it's an Oichel, which is in a really there, so it's going to be Mutter. So that idea of Akshavei, you can have something that Min haTorah is not really a problem, but Min haRabban, you personally have Akshavei, so you have to find it. That's, you have it in this Gemara, and you have it in the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, the way the Rosh is reading it. So this is the second reason that the Gemara gives for the Yisrael Rabban of Tusim Rehonim. So again, everybody seems to agree to this category of Tusim Rimonim. Not everybody, but the Gemara presents it that we seem to assume Allah that Tusim Rimonim is Nisad and Rabban of Seat on them. And Machlag is the Gemara, what the reason is. The first reason was because there are base Menashim and Menachem, some people were doing it, so therefore that causes a problem for all of us. And according to the second reason, the Gemara, it's based on the principle of Achshavei. So my left Kamina, for two reasons. What should the left Kamina be? So Pasha left Kamina.
Person himself, individual.
What do you mean individual?
If he's the only person who's
asked. Oh, so let's say, what would the din be? What's the halacha? Let's say you have a type of a fruit. The tak does not meet the criteria not to say batla taita. It means you don't have basic menashe but menachem. You're that crazy machinic of fruit that nobody in the right mind would ever squeeze, and this nut, he goes ahead and he squeezes the fruit. So what would the din be? So the pashup shot is that it'll depend. At least the reason, if you go with the first mahalach, so then it's tach going to be more even lechetchila. With the second mahalach, the chavetz are going to be also mid the rabbanim. So if that is true, so then we have a little bit of a problem. What's the problem? What's the problem? That statement where we just presented the nafkamidah to the 2 days in the Gemara, what's problematic? The Brisa says that there are certain fruits, there's a third category of fruit. Remember we started yesterday by saying some fruits are derived, some fruits are derived, and some fruits are mutlach hatchila. So the Brisa spells out a whole series of different fruits, which is mamash mutlach hatchila to squeeze. The Pagoin, the Prishin, and the Uzrudin. What are all these things? So Rashi, the only one Rashi tells you that we can't really deal with it is Pagoin is what? Prunes. So prunes is crazy. Whoever squeezes prunes. So the Prishin and the Uzrudin, all these crazy things, you know, whatever dream of squeezing. So the price of the fairish, it's mutal lechatchila to squeeze them. Bishlam according to the first Mahalach in the Gemara, that makes perfect sense, because there's no base Menashe doing it, it's just the one Meshugim is doing it. So then Butler died to the Kolodim, and it's going to the second day in the Gemara, and you don't need the Meshugim, I'm sorry, that you don't need the base Menashe, even the Meshugim himself is good enough, because Achshavinu, because he himself is Machshavit. So if you go with the second Mahalach in the Gemara, how can there be a din of any fruit being mutter? How can the Braisa say there are three categories of fruit? Some of their Isa, some of their Abana, some of mutter. How can anybody say that it's mutter to be sochet to go and preach in Uzvidim? That's the kasha. So who asked this kasha? Rashi asked this kasha. Good, what does Rashi say?
He touches
the Braisa. So comes Rashi and says, a part of have to say that when the Braisa draws a distinction between the Tegoyin and the Rimonim, what the Gemara means is like this. Vice means like following story. It means in Tam Saloma that the guy is trying to squeeze out the pogrom, trying to squeeze out the fruit to drink the juice. That's Taka also. There's a Taka no hefta for that. That's the Gemara Svar of Achshavinu. And you know what? And if you want to say Achshavinu is their Isa against them, you know, we said that word in the Rosh, so maybe it's going to be Chayev. Who says that? Rashi also, right? Rashi says in the Chayev. Rashi seems to learn Achshavinu is being Mamash as far as their Isa. So comes Rashi and says, but if you go with the second halach of the Gemara, so the Braisa that says that's mutter to be sochet for going to preach and uzudin cannot be taken at face value. To squeeze it, to drink the prune juice is an issa deraisa, worse than best than issa derabbanan. So what's the Braisa talking about? No, Rashi gives a whole new story. The Braisa is not talking about to squeeze out the juice. The Braisa is talking about to squeeze lamatikas afri. You want to get the juice out in order to eat the fruit. You really want to eat the fruit. You don't want the fruit with all the juice in it, so that's like what? That's like sofa de sawa. That's not a new way after we have that. That's like kvash and the gufa. So whatever you're sofa, that's like kvash and the gufa, that's not an issa deraisa. Nobody says that's deraisa. Again, either because of the gufa or because it's called like sochet shalom tzorech, the different svaras that we gave yesterday, since we call it. So comes Rashi and says you have to revamp and relearn this taicha of the sofa raisa. That sofa the pagoin means. If you want to be misaka in the fruit, so then you're permitted to be sochel es hapagoyim. Then and only then. So well, what's the problem? What do you do the next line? Valob rimonim. So the mother shah. If the Braisa is talking about for the purpose of the Jews, so if you're going with the svar of Achshavinu, then there's no chiluk between pagoyim and rimonim. If you're talking about the masik is a free, so why do there should be no chiluk? The same way that it's mutter to be sochel the pagoyim, the masik is a free. It should be mutter to be sochet the remote lamata is a free. So what does Rashi have to say? Tanuvar, no. That chidas pri letzorech gufo is a gzeira derabbanan. It's mina torah tzlacha mutter. There's a gzeira derabbanan. If we let you do chita letzorech pri, next thing you know, you're going to do chita letzorech hamashke. Right? That's a new issa derabbanan. So that issa derabbanan was only instituted if it's normal to squeeze. It means that there's a realistic fear that you may come to squeeze out the tzorech juice. So then and only then did the chachamim make this gezeira derabbanan. So according to Rashi, this braisa mamish is like from what field over here? So it was such an easy braisa in Kufman Dalet. The braisa said tzorech v'goyim, the preaching of uzudin of a lo b'rim on him. That was it. It was so simple. So according to Rashi, that's not what it means. It means like this. So the regard of Rishon Uzudin Lamasa Kesapri, but Lamemayan is the Chinesa Derais. Fine, Aval Lo Berimonim. But even if it's Lamasa Kesapri, so you're not allowed to be Sofet Rimonim. Why is that? Because since it's normal for the base Menashe to be Sofet Rimonim, therefore we have to make a Gezeira that if you're going to squeeze out Tzorech Kesapri, the Sakhna Kesapri, next thing you know you're going to be Sofet with Sofet Rimonim. That's a very very complicated way of doing this branch with Mamash Ukechos and Mamash. So come other Rishonim and say that no, the Rashi is not correct. Rashi's whole analysis of the sugya is not correct. So we present it as an afkamina between the first lashon of the Gemara and the second lashon of the Gemara that it's going to chapa right in afkamina. It's going to chapa in afkamina where if you have a type of a fruit that normal people there is no base menashe. There's just one meshugim who squeezes. So we thought that if you go with the second lashon of Gemara, that it's based on Achshavinu, that's going to be a problem. So come to Ramban and come to Rashbam, come to the whole group of Rishonim and say it's not true. That nobody would say that Achshavinu itself can asa. Nobody says it. The Gemara says it. The Gemara says that the reason is based on Achshavinu. So well, come to Rishonim and say, what the Gemara meant to say is like this. It's a combination of factors. It means if you have one meshuggah who's out there on his own squeezing a prune, so if nobody else in the world squeezes prunes, so then that's mutar lechatchila. Mamish botlah the einuchah botlah daito etodat world and zolam mizeh. And the independent svar of achshavina doesn't exist. What does achshavina mean? Achshavina means if you already have a pre-existing group of people who squeeze things, and you choose to be part of that chevra, you choose to become a sochanas harimonim. So then when we look at what you're doing, we don't say you're mamish crazy. We say you're a little bit off, a little bit odd, but you're part of that chevra. You're part of the tzchitas rimonim chevra. So therefore, tzchitas rimonim is going to be also. It says in the Ramban, it says in the Rashba, that to create an Isser independently based on Akshavinu, that's mamish crazy. That no one would say. Even the second Lashon HaGemara didn't say that. So according to the Ramban and the Rashba, so now the Braisa reads mamish kolach. The Braisa says, Basanya, sochdim if we're going to preach with uzudim. It's mutal lechatchila. If you have a tremendous Yitzhara, you'd be the one Meshuggah in the whole world to squeeze out a prune. Take it and do whatever you want. You want to squeeze out your prune. We have no problems with you. You machshav it. You're not allowed to squeeze out your pomegranates. Why? Because pomegranates, that's already a much more serious story. For some people, talk to do squeeze pomegranates, and you're also squeezing pomegranates. That's already problematic. So, according to Rashi. So the din of the halog of three categories of fruit, we started out by saying the shir yesterday, the schit derais and the schit derabon and the schit derat mutla hatila. So according to Rashi's pshat, at the end of the day, if we pass in achshavina, not sure which way we passed it, but li yitzu we passed in the svar of achshavina, according to Rashi, so then there is no third category at all. There is no fruit that's mutla hatila to squeeze. That's what the Bach says. The Bach says, Mishnah Pasach is Rashi. And then Mishnah Berurah says, we don't have to be Bach for this. In Migra, then we assume against this Bach, against this Rashi, like the Ramban, the Rashi, like most of the Rishonim, that nobody said that Achshavin in and of itself is really considered to be such an insurmountable problem. So it comes out that, going back to our Halig of three categories from yesterday, so yeah, we're willing to salvage our three categories. We have Sita Deraisa, we have Sita Derabon, and we have Sita, which is Mutlach Etchila. The only problem is, we salvage it in a theoretical level, but in a Lamaisa level, we don't really have it. Lamaisa, all fruit is not as that, is included in the category of two severe moments. So whether you accept Rashi or whether you go like the other Rishonim, at the end of the day, you end up right smack in the same place. You end up with basically nothing that's left of the squeeze. So it's hard to come up to the matter any schita whatsoever. So this line of the Gemara, Sokhtim, the Gemara of Prisha Uzun, it sounds like a Gavala Kapula, according to Rashi, it's totally off the charts because it only meant the Sakhir and Sa'ochel. And even according to the only Shah, the view of the Rashi, it's basically off the charts also because everything does not as has become normal.
Aren't prunes just dried plums?
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone would squeeze dried plums today to get juice.
It's prune juice.
Oh, it's prune from juice? From the prune still has, I mean, a dried plum you think has no juice.
You're thinking of still.
Yeah? Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing as plum juice? Is there a plum juice?
Is there plum juice?
Yeah, there's plum juice.
There's a
plum juice different than prune juice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's much thicker. Prune juice is much thicker.
I was going to go on a class trip here.
What if you extract like oil from like peanuts or something?
Peanut oil is very normal.
What?
Peanut oil is normal.
For people to do it individually? And like, for people to be so hated things by. It doesn't mean that people are so hated by hand.
In orange.
Prunes, right? People do it into fruit salad all the time. People are so hated.
Okay, yeah. When was the last time you were still here? If you do a Soviet Rimon,
it's you automatically considered part of the people who do it, or you have to do it to something people normally do?
I lost you.
Yeah.
If you, something here
if you're by yourself sitting in your house, you squeeze out a Rimon, yeah. But you just like do it once, whatever, and you're now considered, is that considered also because you're part of the people?
Yeah, that's what the Bryce says. It's also have a low Rimon.
Because there's people that do it.
You do that reason for Rashi, and that's what the love is.
You think it's become Rashi because there's people that do it somewhere
else? That's not like Rashi. The other Rishon, Rashi says that once you have the serve Rashi, you don't need the other people. Even if you're the only crazy guy who does it, whereas according to all the other Rishonim, if you're the only crazy guy, then Rashi doesn't stand by itself.
Is it an elevated item if it's mainly used for drinks, meaning like the item's usually drunk and not meaning like let's say like oranges are. grown mostly for
drinking. That's what drinking. Yes, yes, based on the chazanish of his brachos, that it could be that, that everything changes with Zman Hazeh. He said, we start off the shiur today by saying, right, Rashi and Iran, what the chisorn of Shaperis is. According to Rashi, you're opening up the possibility for everything being their Isa. It comes out, according to Rashi, it's not unbelievable. So the way Rashi didn't have to write that phrase, Umechayev. Rashi, in the last of the wrote, became to you, Machash, Le Hapi Mashke, Umechayev. So according to Rashi, Mamash, everything is their Isa. All sweetness curse was one of those their Isa. So I don't want to say that. I want to say at least it's the Rabbanan, but to say that it's totally mutter, this man is going to be very, very difficult. Was there any other nafkamina between the two Lashonos and the Gemara about whether the reason why the Chum Maser, the Shechitas Tusim Rinonim, is because of the, that it's normal in some places, or is the reason why they ask it because of the Tzvar Rakshavin, or any other nafkamina? Right, Rechabna. Now that may be one of the rayas that the Maskanas of Gemara is not like Akshavin. That's why Sidney Sharon brought back the first part of the Gemara. I'm saying, is there any Chetap any other Nafkamina or Dina? Between the two Lashonos of Gemara? No, Daniel, doesn't Chetap any Yeah, something looks like Vos. It's going to happen after me. Why? The Gemara made a whole fuss out of this sigil. The Gemara said that who discovered America? It was. Said the Lahana Tanakh of Chizda. The Gemara says that the real reason why Tusim remember Asur was because of Akshavinu. And the Gemara is trying to prove that Akshavinu exists. The Gemara is trying to prove that there's a Svar of Akshavinu. The Gemara says, Yamar of Chizda. Tardin she sochtan the nostrum the mikvah pulse of the mikvah machine. I wonder what a tardin. Is it modern Hebrew? What is tardin?
Tardin
is spinach. Right? Yeah. That doesn't mean spinach. Yeah. Here it means beets.
Leeks.
Okay. Whatever it is, something which has a different color. The Gemara says you take this food, either pop out a salmon, squeeze out a spinach into the mikvah, and that passes the mikvah machine. What does that mean? Because it did. That the mikvah water has to be clear, it has to have the color of water. The mikvah starts to turn colors, that's a problem. So, comes the Gemara and says, why is that true? This din that the person takes the leeks or the beets or the spinach and squeezes it into the mikvah, now you have a green mikvah. So, why is that possible? The mikvah b'shini ma'ara? Pala b'nei schita nivu. Because after all, these tards that are not normal things that are squeezed out. So therefore, the squeezing them out shouldn't pass on the mikvah. Anyone know what the Gemara talking about? Is anyone of you guys just read the Gemara? No, what do you think about this Gemara?
Maybe because if they're not playing sleeps,
maybe it's not considered a mashke. That would be. Yes, yeah, so the Gemara is having an unbelievable kiddush. The Gemara is saying this din that a mikvah's nips of the shini nara. It's not just that the mikvah turns another color. If you have, let's say, you have red lights going in the mikvah, the mikvah looks red. That's not the possible mikvah. It's only a possible mikvah if it's nifshalayde mashke, which changes the color. That's the clear mahal of the Gemara. You need a clear mashke, din mashke, in order to pass the mikvah. So now the Gemara is saying, hey, wait a second, that's true. So bishlam, if a guy takes a grape and squeezes the grapes into the mikvah, takes olives, squeezes the olives into the mikvah, so now you have a purple or a green mikvah. So that I understand why it's not possible, because you have a mikvah that was changed by the mashke. But tardin, which are not a status of the mashke, labin is chitin inu, so why should they pass the mikvah? So the Gemara says, must be that Rav Chisda was also subscribing to this idea of Akshavinu. So it's the din of Akshavinu that forced Rav Chisda to his conclusion that the mikvah is possible because it's Akshavinu and mashke. So now we can extrapolate the mikvah's mitzvah for the Shabbos. There's a principle of Akshavinu, and that's the reason why you can't squeeze the two of them on the outside.
Didn't our Makos say that just has to do with changing the color?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. So the Gemara here, this one line, Kufman Dado Bey, tucked away in the Sefer Shabbos, is making an unbelievable assumption about this psul of Shini Mara. But Shini Mara only passes in the Tzayu Dei Mashkin. The Gemara
says even if you have
like
this color, you paint water.
Who says that's not a Mashkin? Right. Oh, that's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. So we have to figure out. We're learning about the balls right now. So comes Rav Chisda and says that the reason why it's possible is because Akshavinu Mashke. So now Rav Papa wants to be daicha there. Rav Papa says, no, you want to bring me a raya that there's a, something that there's a principle called Akshavinu. I don't accept such a principle. Rav Papa says the reason why it's possible is because tachlis, if you would want to, let's say you would fill up a hole in the ground with 40 saw of spinach juice, so could you be tithing on it? You can't be tithing on it, right? Absolutely not acceptable. So comes Rav Papa and says, therefore, it's a davish ain't also in the men of mikvah lachatchila, and anything which is not itself acceptable to use for a mikvah will possible the mikvah b'shinei mara. So what's your papa really saying in our lomdish lingo? So that which you thought that it's only a mashke, which is mashana, the mara of the mikvah, which possible, that's not true. But anything that changes the mara of the mikvah, the only condition that's important is it itself something which is also in the mikvah, but something that you could be tayvul with. If it's water itself, that's not called shinei mara, that's called the mara of the mikvah. But if it's something which is not kosher, that we made a mikvah out of itself, even though if it doesn't have a shein mashke, it's also going to pass on the mikvah to shein mara. That's the shakma tayin, the gemara. So, l'chora, that nekuda, nukhuz mikvahs, will ultimately boil down to how you pass it up in the Shabbos. If you go along the first lines of the gemara, that the reason why the chamin made the yisad rabbanon was because of the base menashe by menachem, so then... You never really have any klal of akshavinu. There is no such klal of akshavinu. So of course, you have to say that even things which don't have the status of a mashke are potentially going to passel a mikvah b'shinei mara. Mashenken, according to if you go with the second line, with the second malach of the gemara, there is a bit of akshavinu. That's the reason why the tithes are soft and passel a mikvah.
What fits in that category besides water? Things you can make a mikvah out of.
No, that's where actually throws in a few other things, a shell egg and bara, things like that. Yeah. Other kinds of things.
What
is
shuvah?
Hold on. We're getting it. Hold on. So this is a very real shalom. This is a not just shalom of a mikvah. About what if you put something into a mikvah that causes the water to be changed, the color of the water to be changed. But itself, it's not a mashke. You can't even say achshavinu on it. It's not much a solid. So this is a shayla for those. Now, about putting, if you want to put chlorine tablets or something, you want to put something into the mikvah. So if you put a very small amount, that it'll accomplish whatever health benefits you want to accomplish, and it won't change the color of the mikvah that it's supposed to look like chila. But even if you goof and you put it a little bit too much, so it depends. If you pour in a liquid, that's good papa. If it really papa does change the color of the mikvah, then the mikvah is totally possible. Whereas if it's a solid that ended up changing the color of the mikvah, so it could be that that's not going to be a problem based on how you pass it in this gemara. That's a shame. It's not a mashke, because if you drink it, you would die. Right. It's also not called a mashke. Achshavino? Achshavino the mashke.
Chlorine doesn't really change the color of the water, cleans the water.
Mm.
So it's like the original color of the water, but the
right.
Chlorine.
So you just get rid of the algae or whatever,
exactly.
Garbage is inside.
So that's not really.
Maybe it's not even shinabara. Okay. If you put in enough, it doesn't change.
No, it just doesn't change. I don't have enough water. It
doesn't change.
The color
never changes.
But if you get it cloudy, the water can go cloudy.
No, it doesn't. Never changes. What? Turns green.
Color.
If you put in enough, it turns green.
No, it's blue.
I don't know. Okay, class trip. So where are we going? We're going to a pomegranate squeezing company. We're going to squeeze prunes and go look at the well. We filled up that chemical, by the way, a couple of weeks ago. We filled up the chemical from Brandon. So I was on the ground, not much on the literally inside. That's where the water came in. It was to make sure it was dry. The thing is that you have to make sure that the base of the board of the mix is totally completely bone dry. Because you have any water that was not true, that was any sink water or pipe water, any other water that was in there beforehand, so it could potentially disqualify the whole mikvah. You have to have your hands and knees to make sure it's totally dry. So I volunteered, they volunteered me, they threw me down, they climbed down a ladder into the bottom of the and it was totally dry.
According to our papa, if you never found the proof, how you could pass my case to an asher, so you would be with the responsibility.
According to our papa, no, because your papa, the statutes let Samishan sit. The Brisa says that Rimon Marasa.
Then
right?
I asked the question, have you been passed?
No, so that. No, but the Brisa says it's also, and then the Brisa gives a funny reason, because Beis Menashe, that's the Gemara trying to figure out my hat, what's on the Brisa. But in the end, nobody really disagrees with the Pesach of the Brisa. So that's what Rav Papa would probably have to fall back on the first reason of the Gemara.
So otherwise, the reason why they
were passed. Right, so you have to probably fall back on the first reason. Sure. Right, so again. So this is a this shaila that was most probably is going to depend on how you get a pasta on the Shabbos. Rashi makes a point here when the Gemara talks about the Psul of Shinimara. Rashi says you shouldn't confuse this Psul of Shinimara with another Psul of Zubot, like what David is alluding to. That's the Psul of Baimish Ugin. They're two different, totally different halachas. There's a din that in order for Mikvah to be kosher, so the water has to be either rainwater or it has to be spring water. But if either of those waters were in a Kli, that's what's called Baimish Ugin. So the din is that Baimish Ugin is not acceptable for a Mikvah. And the din is that even if most of the mikvahs make a shama, most of the mikvahs have a kosher mikvah water, but even a small amount is ma'am shuvah, that's going to be a problem. What's the shear? How much ma'am shuvah is going to pass on mikvah? So Rashi says the shlosh is lugin. So Rashi is going with machlek is at tanoim, and we pass him that it's the gimel lugin. Gimel is not all that much. How much is gimel lugin?
21st ayah. We just looked it up in the Frank.
Gimel lugin.
21st ayah, I think. A 42
sand, though. Gimel Lugin is much less than 40
sand. Gimel
Lugin
and less than
40 sand. Lug, Revias Halug, is a cup of Kiddush. It's Revias. Revias is Halug. So Revias Halug is 12 ounces, 36 ounces. What is this? 16.9. So not even three of these. Two plus change to that amount of water is Mayim Shuvim, right? Natural spring water, which is not Mayim Shuvim. So natural spring water from the spring underneath Beth Mark. Now we moved to Burnfield, so we have to support our local Beth Mark. So Gimel Lugin is not all that much. 40 saw is the shear for the kashrus of the mikvah. So the din is like this, that if you have a kashrus mikvah already have 40 saw of a kashrus mikvah, then you can put in all the ma'am shuvim in the world you want, it's not gonna do anything to the mikvah. But kozman, you didn't fill up the mikvah yet, so if you have gimelugin, that's going to pass on the mikvah. Why is that? I hate to say. So where does din of ma'am shuvim come from? So I was thinking about the Rishonim. Some Rishonim said that it's a psul d'oraisa. And another Shem said something absurd to Rabbanu. There's a Torah's code that says, in the Pasuk in Parashas Shmini, Ach Mayanu Bor Miflamani Yatahor, that there are two ways of Tovel. Either you're Tovel in a Mayan, in a spring, where the water comes up from the ground, or you're Tovel in a Bor Miflamayim, in a hole which is filled up with rainwater. So the Torah's code says, Ma Mayim Bidei Shemayim, Ach Bor Miflamayim Bidei Shemayim, just like the Mayan. So you don't do anything to the spring water, it just comes right out of the ground. So to the rainwater, you can't collect it ayyidei adam. If you collect ayyidei adam, that's possible. From here you see, there's a psul of mayim shuvim. So the Sami Shalom who said that it's all in the Rabbanim. So that's mach of Yamra. Min HaTorah, even if you're, as long as it's 40 saw, it doesn't matter if it was in a Kli. Now in a Kli, it's still good to kasha. And the other Mishalim say, no, that the mayim shuvim is in fact a din d'araisa. That's what, according to those Mishalim who say, the mayim shuvim is a problem with d'araisa. So it's only a problem with the rice of Rova Mikvah is Mayim Shuvim. It's a little bit Gimelugin, not Rova Mikvah, it's garnish compared to the size of the whole Mikvah. So that's for sure in the Rabbanan. The Mercy of the Favorish. The Psul of Gimelugin is for sure the Rabbanan. So according to those Rishon who say that Shuvim is Daraisa, that means like this, that mid Daraisa, if you have 21 Saw, which is Rova Mikvah, Shuvim, that's also Daraisa. And mid Rabbanan, the Medic Zayvah, Gimelugin, Atu Rova Mikvah. But according to those Rishon who say, that the whole din of Shuvim is midrabban. How can we call? So why did the Chum make up such a crazy din derabban? And what were they trying to make life so difficult for us? Making a din derabban of my Shuvim? Why? Remember the Goshim? No, then you remember a couple years ago, time for another contemporary halacha. You'll say, remember? So why did the Chum institute the psul of my Shuvim? So the Rishonim write, because everyone agrees that in a Torah you have to be tevel b'karka. You're not allowed to be tevel in a kli. Let's say you fill up like a tub, which is a portable tub. With a lot of water, more than 40 cell water, and you toggle inside it. So that's possible in the Daraisa. Because the Torah says it has to be a bore mikvah mayim, it has to be something which is built into the structure, it has to be the chubul karka. So So everyone would agree that if you tovel in a kli, it's possible. So according to some Mishnah, they made a gezerah that you shouldn't tovel even in water that was once in a kli, gezerah that you may come to be tovel in a kli. So the two different permutations in Mishnah, why they made the gezerah drabban of shuvim, either because there is a din of shuvim deraisa of a mitzvah, so therefore they made the drabban of gimel lugin atar of a mitzvah. And according to the other Sharim, the whole din of Shuvin is only with the Rabbanon, and it was instituted as a gzeira up with Chilu B'Kli. No matter how you slice it, there is a din that the Gimel Lugin, it's a problem. So Rashi points out that din of Gimel Lugin, that has nothing to do with Shinimara. That's only by Ma'am Shuvin. Shinimara, the Klal is, if you call it like you see it, if it changes the color of the Mikla, so even with less than Gimel Lugin, if you put in a highly concentrated color or something, but even less than Gimel Lugin, go into the mikvah, change the color, then it's totally possible. Nothing to do with gimel lugin. So there are differences between the psul of mayim shuvim and the psul of shinimara. Let's say the mashal. We said before that once you have a kosher mikvah, so you can put all the mayim shuvim in, and nothing won't cause you any problems. So that's only true of mayim shuvim, but by shinimara. So that's the gemara's of the fairish that if you have a kosher mikvah, you pour a little wine into the mikvah. If you pour enough wine that it changes the color, that will passel the mikvah. So the klalim alagamre are different. There's a kula that shirimara has that mayim shuvim doesn't have. That mayim shuvim, once it becomes possel, you can't fix it. You have to get rid of the whole mikvah. Let's say, for example, I wouldn't have bothered to get on my hands and knees to dry out the mikvah. Let's say they would have started to fill up the mikvah with rainwater. They would have realized that, oh yeah, by the way, before there was 40 saw, some guy comes with a hose and starts putting in some mayim shuvim into the mikvah. So how can you be machsher that? So the answer is you can't. You have to empty out the mikvah, dry it up, and start all over again. Once it becomes nifsal b'shuvim, so there's nothing you can really do about it. Hashem kein, if something becomes nifsal b'shinimara, so that let's say you had a kosher mikvah, and somebody poured a bottle of wine inside it. So now you have a purple mikvah. So what do? So you don't have to drain it out. What can you do?
You add more water.
So that's what they're. And it becomes kosher once the wine is diluted, that you can't see it anymore. So the dinim of Mayim Shuvim, the dinim of Shinimara, Mayim Shuvim, nothing to do with each other. Two totally different dinim. Most of the Rishonim assume that the whole dinim of Shinimara is only a dinim of the Rabbanon. But where does it say in the Chumash that a mikveh that doesn't have a color of a mikveh is possible? Why did they make a gzeirah of the Rabbanon? The Rabbi writes that it was a gzeirah that you make comfortably tovel and made peiros. So let's say you would fill up a bar. Mamash with orange juice. You fill it up mamash with grape juice. And you would be tovel completely in May Peira. So that's possible in the Torah. Because the Torah says, definitely tovel in Mayim. Born mikveh Mayim. So May Peira is not considered in Mayim. So even if you have a mikveh which is water, but it looks a little bit like wine because it has a purple tinge to it, or it looks a little bit like spinach juice because it has a lot of chlorine in it, so it's a little greenish tinge to it. So that was awesome, and that was a gzeirah of Rabbanan. Lest you come to be tovel in Bay Peros. So it could be that's the rationale within the Rabbanim of Shirin Ma'ar, that was a Gezerim, Shirin Peros. So that may add a lot of Derabia to Agamar. At least according to the first Lashon of Gemara, the Gemara is according to the Lashon of Gemara, that the only time there's a problem of Shirin Ma'ar is only when you have a Shem Mashka. Like, why should that be? Like the Hege Taser that the Chum's Institute is. That you, the din of Shirin Ma'ar should have anything in the world to do with the Shirin Mashka. So maybe you could say, based on the Ravid, says that the whole Gezerah of Shirin Ma'ar was a Gezerah atu tevila b'meperas. So maybe you could argue that only something which has a chashay meperas, something which has a chashay mashka, that was included in the Gezerah. To which Rav Papa would say, no, that the Gezerah was that you shouldn't be covered anything besides water. So whether it has official halachic shem mashka, doesn't have a shem mashka, who cares? If self goes self, called davar she'en el simen mikvah lechatchila, so it's pulsos a mikvah b'shinimara. So that lumbus, that shakal b'tayin and gemara, may have its roots in what the original reason why the chum asked b'shinimara to be. Anyway, this is an aside, a little hook to the gross, give it a little taste of something else. Alex, you have a question? So far. Yes, that's what the Gemara says that she'uvim are not considered to be she'uvim if they don't have the color of mikvah, so it could help you in a sense. If the she'uvim don't have the color of mayim, then they don't pass the she'uvim.
I mean, the mikvah is already full. If the mikvah is already full, and then
you pour shuvah in it, and it changes the color.
Half of the shuvah.
Dirty.
No. So we usually assume that dirt is not really considered to be. We shouldn't talk about. They've got a mikvah every kippur. So we assume that whatever happens in the natural course of dirt coming off the people, that's not really considered to be shuvah. May not be so healthy and clean, but that should be nice.
So can you use dirty shelling?
Dirty shelling.
Like Rashi said, it seems like if you put it in a shoe.
Shelling is a big shot. Rashi said that shelling is a double, which is also nimenu mikvah lechatila. That's a big machlekes. So the machlekes that know about that, there's a shot about that, because the Mishnah Masechet Mikvot does speak about making a mikvah out of shelling. So there's machlekes of Yishalim, which just happens to be quoted in the Masechet Shabbos of all places. At the end of the fourth parak, there's a machlekes of Yishalim, and that means that the shelling is still frozen, or it means the shelling is already melted. So there was some Yishalim who said, even if the shelling is frozen, you have snow. You have a big pile of snow. So that's mutter b'tavel in a big pile of snow. That's what some Yishalim said. And most of the Yishalim said it's not true. That Mishnah which says, that tavel b'shelling, that means that the shelling, you shouldn't think that just because it started out of shelling, so now it's not kosher. No, if it started out of shelling and now it melts, so then you can tavel it, you can tavel it. So there are others who say that even if you, in theory, if tavel b'shelling would be okay, it's impossible to do it, not just because it's cold. It's impossible to do it because the din is that the water has to touch the entire body of the person. So in shelling, so there are air pockets in the snow. So you're never really going to have a tefillah on kol gufo.
Can you do it to Sedai?
That's the shalach. That's the machlok is a poskim. So there are some poskim who wanted to be makil that since there's a machlok is a rishon, whether you can totally believe in your body, it's a shalach of their eyes, it's a kareis. There was one opinion to be shown to be makel, so maybe from the then we have a right to be makel. And the Pesach says you shouldn't do that either.
But if a part is dirty, like 20 feet away, dirty snow, is it all connected? Like you can't do.
No. So we don't do it this time either in snow. We try to be machmir, but even if this time is not acceptable. The shout for Tfilah was Caleb also, that some of them wanted to be makel, that if you stop, let's say you have a glass, so glass Tfilah is on the midrabanan, metal maybe the nice, the glass is the show on the midrabanan. So some machmir will make it that you're allowed to type of glass as in snow. But since it's machlok is a rishonim, it's a stake of the din. As some of the rabbanim l'kuli, you're allowed to be makel to type of your glassware in snow. So we try to avoid that also. Remember somebody once called me with a shayla that they were somewhere for Shabbos. There was a big snowstorm or something, and the bus told them, "Oh, it's good. We had so much snow in the backyard because we just typed our glasses there." So he asked me, "Is he allowed to eat on those glasses? We use those glasses?" I said, clearly you're not supposed to do that. If it was my glass, I would tell him to be table over again, but whatever, I don't know. Set the time around? I don't know. So we try to avoid to be with the shell, it's cold.
Yeah, because the sheet of cold that's also that you can't use snow, it actually tremendous cool off. You can take that snow in a bucket and empty it out into a bar and use it.
That's a different story. I mean, that's a different part. Most of the Rishonim seem to assume that shelag has a certain kula to it, that it's not nifsal b'sh'uvim. So it means you take shelag and you put it onto, as you say, into a bucket, so kozman that it's in the status of shelag, it's not going to be nifsal b'sh'uvim. So you can take that, pour it into a hole in the ground, and then wait for it to melt. Once it melts, hocus pocus, and then you have
a
kosher.
The Mandama said that it was kosher used as a mixture. You wouldn't say that he's putting a bucket into
that. That may or may not be true. That's the thing. So this is a big cool. This is a cool that's used in a lot of places where they don't have a lot of the mikvahs in the West Coast, so they don't have such easy access to rain all the time. So they make the ice mikvahs. So basically, what they do is they chop these big blocks, they take these trucks that go up to the Sahara Mountains, they chop up these big blocks of ice, and they put them in the truck, and then they drive them down to California, whatever, and they stick them into a hole and wait for it to melt. So the problem with that is, small problem, they do it all the time. So the Chassam Sofer writes that, in the Shuvah, you have to be very, very careful when you do that, because if it starts to melt, once the snow, the ice starts to melt, so that water is now nifsal b'shuvim. So the days of Chassam Sofer, they didn't have freezer trucks. So they would take these blocks of ice and piles of snow and carry them in buckets, and then slowly but surely, by the time they got to the mikvah, it was already half melted. So anything that was melted was already not shuvim. They would take this whole bucket and throw it into the hole and wait for the rest of it to melt. So they created a pasul mikvah because they had more than gimel lugim, three rocks, not that much. So yeah, gimel lugim and mayim shuvim, which were already which were already in the mikvah before there was a kosher mikvah. So that was a serious, potentially serious problem. So Baruch Hashem is banazeh, we much easier to do that because you have a freezer truck, so you stick it to the freezer truck, so it remains frozen. That's a shadow. There are some who are opposed to making these mikvahs. There are some cheaters on the show that say you shouldn't make a mikvah from shalom. That's a further machlokes. That was a big, 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 very expensive machlokes at Rambam. There are some Rambam who wanted to argue that just as the din is that we might pass him that kol zman that it's in the state of a sal, it's not nifsal b'shuvin. So there are some Rambam who wanted to say the same is true. Let's say you have mayim which is shuvin, and you go ahead and you freeze it so that it loses its pop of the shem shuvin. And now when it melts, so then it becomes not shi'uvim, so it becomes a mikvah. So if that statement would be true, so then it would be very, very simple to build a mikvah. It means you don't have to waste your time building these contraptions in the roof to get water down with the shachas, with crazy, all kind of stories. Just have a room next door to the mikvah with a freezer. So just fill up water out of your tap, whatever. Put it into the freezer, freeze it up, put it in the bucket, freeze it up, and take it out, and put it into the mikvah, wait for it to melt, and poof, and you have a kosher mikvah for significantly less of the cost. So there was some Achronim who had such an eitzah, and most of the poskim assume that we're not so convinced that equation is true. But just because it doesn't become nifsal, the she'uvin, if it's frozen, doesn't necessarily mean that the original psul she'uvin is going to disappear through the freezing process. So there's a sefer mikvah mayim. There was a wonderful sefer. There's a few volumes written by Rav Yirmiyah Katz. In the case of Rav in the Baripov, he's one of the big mumchim in mikvahs in America, in the world today. So in his last, I think the last chapter in the sefer, so he talks about this whole shabbos. So machlokes the poskim about creating mikvahs in some places where it's very hard to get rain, and some places where. Again, you live in a place where you can't get rain. You live in a place where you don't have Sierra Mountains nearby. So your mamash is going to be stuck. So he talked about using this as a shasach hagadol, a type of an eitzah. So he talks about in this piece that maybe there are grounds to remake it a little bit because we're not even 100% convinced that the water in our city pipes is really mayim shuvin. Because there was a whole deal in the poskim 100 years ago when modern plumbing system started. Is regular city, plain city water that comes out of your tap, is that really mayim shuvim or not? So there was some poskim who wanted to argue that it doesn't really, it's not really this kabbalah and a kli anywhere, the reservoirs in the Chum L'Kark. There are different chesbonos as to whether it is kli or not kli. Who remembers? I told you about it. Remember what I climbed up? What's the records? Yeah, the water tank. Yeah. So to go check whether what's going on. Anyway, so there's a... Almost, no one told me how to climb up a ladder for 30 feet and then down again.
Yeah.
Almost ended up in the water tank. Anyway, so there were a minority of poskim who threw out this idea that maybe our city water is not even mayim shuvim altogether. So if that's true, then forget about the freezing the water. Just dig a little hole in the ground, make a big bathtub. And it's very easy to make a mikvah. Just build a jacuzzi in your bathroom and then turn on the water and you have a nice, beautiful kosher mikvah. So it's generally assumed not that way. So most of the poskim assume that that's not correct. There was a Rav who lived in California about 100 years ago or so who was trying to, he was really trying to do L'Shem Shemayim. But he saw there was a tremendous script in the times of the American in the early 1900s. So he was trying to, he realized that the reason is because they didn't have any money to build mikvahs. They couldn't build mikvahs. Yeah. So he said that let's try to make life easier. I want to make our own personal custom made mikvah. So he ran around the whole country trying to convince everybody that they should build mikvahs in their bathtubs. And his basic, he wrote a whole sefer about it. And the whole thesis of the whole sefer was that modern plumbing is not mayim shuvim. So nobody took it, that seriously because the Ruben Poskim assumed not that way. It's already been accepted as Manazah, not in Abu Yazid Kassim. It's an English book. It's written in English. Fascinating book. You get it in the library. I don't know what it's called. He has pictures. Not only, first, he has the first half of the sefer is halacha. And the second half is like a home decorating design. He shows you how you can put a mikvah in your china closet. You can put a mikvah under your bed. And you can put a mikvah in your, all of every room you want it. He shows you You can put like the flower vase on top of your mitzvah. You can make it so beautiful part of your decoration. Just take the top off. And then he has in pictures where he says that, and the men could use it to take a bath once in a while. Also, this is the 1900s, early 1900s. Anyway, so that was a very interesting person. But he was trying the Shem Shemayim, but the mice he wasn't really much there. Yeah, bathtub. It depends on what kind of bathtub it is. If it's a bathtub, you know, that's sitting on legs that you can pick up and move, that's not a chubur karka. But if it's built into the system, so that it's a chubur karka. Most normal bathtubs are a chubur karka.
Upstairs.
Huh?
This is upstairs. This is upstairs in your house, and it's not
a chubur karka. No, it's also a chubur karka.
Can you attach the house?
Yeah, attach the house. It's also a chubur karka. Yeah. That's the Ferish Rashba. The Rashba writes that you're allowed to build a mikvah on the roof. Means if you have a hole in the your biggest put a structure and connect to the roof, so that's what the chumrah kaf, a haraya, that's the greatest raya. Huh? Even better than that. The mikvah, which famous mikvah in the world? The Beis Hamikdash's mikvah was at the Gaga Beis HaParva, the mikvah Yuma says. So the Rashba says they probably had a ride in the Beis Hamikdash. So he said, you think that Shas HaChak, you can go to the roof, well, so good. But it's part of the structure that's also supposed to be the chumrah kaf. Anyway, how did we get out of it? I don't remember. But I was telling you, I never finished that one thing I wanted to tell. Oh, yeah, that's the story. So the Sefer Mifanayim, so he writes, after he says that you really shouldn't build these mikvahs made out of the frozen water, it's not such a good idea, and blah, blah, blah. He said, no, b'shachar chagomol, what are you going to do? So Mestamel Yesh Lelavi Lismoch, and the tzir of the fact that there were some gedolim, you know, in previous generations who weren't so convinced that our city water is going to be water together, so maybe Bishasach HaGobel is Rum HaKom. That's what he wrote in the Sefer. So he printed a Haskama from a Sefer from Rav Ozna. So in the Haskama, Rav Ozna writes, it's a beautiful Sefer, it's the Balti Meredith. The only thing is that he takes issue with that Nekuda. Rav Ozna says that even to be Mitzarif as a Kihuzaz, even as a sniff LaHokel, that our water is not my Mishu, but he says Chas V'Shalom, it's Pranimnu, V'Gomru, Idei Gedoli, Adairus. For the last 100 years, that our city water is Mayim Sh'uvim, the Gemurim, and you're not allowed to have any coolers. So he said, that particular Nekuda in the Sefer doesn't like, the rest of the Sefer is very good. That particular point, okay. Maybe tomorrow we'll do a little special share. Maybe we'll go Shabbos tomorrow. I'll take one of the children, turn off the tape.